السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ صلی اللہ علیہ وعلا آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. ولا تمشی فی الارض مرحا انک لن تخرق الارض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over receivers, over the past few Jumu'ahs we have been discussing pride. And I mentioned that in the Quran Sharif and in the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, great warning has been given to those people who walk on the surface of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's earth with pride and with arrogance. Now, I want to bring to a conclusion this subject, but the time on a Jumu'ah is so limited and sometimes the mind just goes in a different direction. So let us get back to that ayat of the Quran Sharif which we were discussing from Surah Kahf, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given the example of those two people. It has been mentioned that they were in the time of Bani Israel, and some say it was in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and different reports have been given. But that is not important. The important thing is that it has been mentioned that these two friends, and today I will just try and give the gist of that, that these two friends, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had blessed one with two vineyards, and he had surrounded that with date palms, two huge vineyards, and surrounded with date palms. And in between those date palms, or in between those two farms, again, huge plantation, producing all kinds of crop. And in those farms also, Allah Ta'ala caused the river to gush forth between them, so that they did not have any kind of difficulty with regards to irrigation or caring for those vines. Nothing. Extremely easy. And Allah Ta'ala had ordered that they must produce tremendous amount or abundant amount of crops. So everything is flooding in. And according to those ayat of the Quran Sharif where Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ. And he had plenty besides that also. One of those friends had plenty besides all what Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, plenty. Because thamar can also mean the products besides the fruit of the trees. We say the products of the factories, the products of the industries. Now, there's also thamar. So Allah Ta'ala had given him virtually anything and everything that you can think of the material world. Plentiful. Now that's what brought pride in him. There was nothing wrong if he made shukr of Allah Ta'ala, if he increased his gratitude to Allah Ta'ala and then he used it. Then Allah Ta'ala would have increased it. But instead of that, he denied the existence of Allah Ta'ala himself. He rejected Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's existence. And in this argument, he tells his friend that I don't think that what I have is going to ever perish and ever finish and ever end. And I don't believe that there is such a thing as a day of judgment. I'm just giving you the meaning of it, the explanation. I don't believe there's going to be a day of judgment on which we have to account for our actions and our deeds. And if you have to look at my vineyards, and if you have to look at the plantations, and if you have to look at the gold and silver and all my possessions, then you have to come to a conclusion that Allah Ta'ala, that Allah whom you are talking about, he must be very pleased with me, otherwise he's not going to give me so much. So he must be extremely pleased with me that he is giving me all these things. And if by chance there is such a thing as a return, if there is something like a hereafter, if there is something like a day of judgment, if there is something like Jannat, then I truly believe that if I got it in this world, in spite of my disbelief of Allah Ta'ala and rejection of his existence, if I'm getting so much in this world, then definitely he will give me much better in the hereafter. So I don't believe in a hereafter, but if there is a hereafter, then definitely I will get much better. So we went up till that stage last week, and I said, then this friend tells him, he says that, as far as I am concerned, I believe in an Allah. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ, that as far as I am concerned, هُوَ رَبِّي, He is my Rabb. And I will not associate any partner with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا, I will not associate any partner with that Allah Ta'ala. I truly believe that He is my Rabb. He is the nourisher, He is the sustainer. He is everything. He is the one that is giving. Because this friend also said that, look at my children, I've got more children, and I've got more wealth, and I've got everything more than you. And even the following that I have, my people are also dominant, because the person who's got everything going, at that time you'll get lots of friends and lots of supporters. So this friend tells him that, I believe in an Allah, and I will not associate any kind of partner with that Allah, I will not disobey that Allah. Nevertheless, when you enter your farm, when you enter these orchards of yours, when you enter your vineyards, then why don't you say that, Masha Allah, la quwwata illa billah. When you enter your orchard, then at that time, why don't you say that whatever Allah Ta'ala wills happens, and that there is no power and no might except with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And it has been reported in the Hadith Sharif that when a person looks at something and it pleases him, we all talk about bad nazar, evil eye, evil gaze, but there is such a thing also as a good gaze, which can cause sometimes some problems. It is a proven thing, whether science accepts it or not, but I can give you many examples where the child became affected by nothing but the good eye of the parent. It wasn't a bad eye, evil eye, but a good eye. You'll begin to like something. And then suddenly the child starts spewing and vomiting and all kinds of things happening. And then you read the same ayats of Nazar and they come right. No doctor, no medication, how did they come right then? So there is such a thing also. Of course, this doesn't mean that you must not do any kind of medication or don't take any kind of treatment. What I am suggesting and saying is that try both, do both things. It could be, we don't say it is definitely, but sometimes it could be. And it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that if a person likes something, he sees something that attracts him, that pleases him, then if he says, Masha Allah, la quwwata illa billah, or if he says, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then inshallah, no harm will come to that object. No harm will come to that child, or no harm will come to that property or anything that you liked, because you said Masha Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And this la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, is a treasure from the treasures of Jannat. And he told his sahabas to read it in abundance. Now the only thing we know that we read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah to chase shaitan. But that's not the only thing. La hawla an ma'asayatillah. That there is no power and no force that can keep us away from the masiyat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَلَا قُوَّةَ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِعَوْنِ اللَّهِ. That there must be some force, some power that can restrain us. If we want to commit a sin, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us a willpower. He doesn't want to force us to do a thing, because if he's going to do that, then we will say we committed the sin by force. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't do that. But we ask Allah Ta'ala that use your force and use your power and use your strength, that even if we want to commit sin, Ya Allah, you hold us back. Create a barrier between us and sins. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his dua he is seeking that, O Allah, create a barrier between me and between your disobedience. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not going to commit any sin. But a lesson for us, that Allah Ta'ala has given us the willpower. And using this willpower, we can kill somebody, we can drink, we can commit adultery, we can commit fornication, we can do any kind of sin that we wish to. Allah Ta'ala has given us the willpower. And he has also given us that willpower to use it if we want to go to the masjid. Now nobody tied us in chains and brought us to the masjid now. We made use of the willpower that Allah Ta'ala has given. We made use of our feet, our hands, our intelligence. We used our cars and we came to the masjid, or we walked and came. But the thing is that we used that willpower. Allah Ta'ala didn't drag us here. So what we are saying that, O Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In essence, what we are saying that, O Allah, you have all power, all might. And every decision that you make is fulfilled. So you make a decision for us that even if we want to commit sin, we want to go in the wrong line, shaitan and nafs are dragging and pulling us to the cinemas and theaters and rave clubs and drugs and all kinds of vices and evils. And we are right there, we are about to commit that sin. But Ya Allah, you have got the force, you have got the power. And if you want to restrain us, then you can use that force and restrain us. So we are asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to use that force that He has to restrain us. Otherwise we, using our willpower, will land ourselves in all those haram places. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it is a cure for 99 illnesses. 99. There are of course the different quantities to be read. Again I repeat that it doesn't mean that you only read that and finish. No medication, no treatment, no doctors, nothing. What we are told is that with yaqeen and with faith and trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you read that too. Dua aur dawa mein asar hai zarur, marizo ki shifa lekin daste khuda mein hai. That there is effect in dua also. And it is that same Allah who kept the effect in that dua, who has kept that effect in dawa. Who else has kept that effect in dawa, in that medication? That same Allah who kept the effect in dua that you seek from me. It is that same Allah who has kept that effect also in dawa and in medication. Otherwise, what else is the thing that cures the person? It is the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's not the medication itself. But He kept it in there, so therefore we take it. So here we don't try the spiritual side at all. We only think of the medication and we don't think of the dua. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, there's 99 sicknesses for which it is a cure. One of which is that gham. In our days we can call it depression, we can call it grief and sorrow, whatever term you use. But that is a problem of our society. Every second person, every little child says, I'm depressed, I'm stressed, I'm depressed. Little children, they're stressed. In grade 1 and grade 3, they're stressed. They say, we can't manage. In our days, we used to start madrasa from 6 o'clock morning till 7:30, and then immediately rush to the school, and as soon as you finish at 2 o'clock, you're back at the madrasa till 5:30, and then we go home and do our homework and finish up 10 o'clock. But those days, children never complained of stress. And these days, in grade 1, they say, we are stressed. What is the cause of that stress? If it's not all those things that you watch on those television screens and then create the desire in our lives to be like them that we see on the screens. All the things that they are watching on those screens, they want to be like that. Now you cannot be like that. So it is going to create stress. It is going to create depression. So the major cause of that depression today is looking at what people are having. Looking at the lifestyle of people. And thereafter we look at ourselves and we feel that we cannot match what the others have. And that creates depression. But of course there are other causes also. We don't deny there are other causes also. And there's nothing wrong. Many, many people suffer from grief and sorrow. And natural grief and sorrow is natural. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he himself, when his son passed away, he said, Ya Ibrahim, inna bi firaqika la mahzunun. Oh my beloved son Ibrahim, in your passing away we are grieved. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's eyes, they shed tears. And that is the haqq that is the true abd and the true servant of Allah Ta'ala, that he fulfills the rights. He fulfills the rights of Allah Ta'ala and the creation of Allah Ta'ala. That child had a right over him. That wife had a right over him. Those parents had a right over him. knife at the death of those parents and at the death of that child and at the death of his friend, this person has a good laugh. And he says, so what? Everybody is going to die one day. So he also died. What's there? So will we say that he's fulfilling the right? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam showed us a balance. There's no extremism in Islam. In everything there's i'tidal, there's a balance. That you fulfill the rights of both of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the creation of Allah ta'ala. Where there is a need to laugh and joke and smile, then that's what you do. And where there is a need to express some kind of grief and sorrow and hurt and pain, then that is what you do. Then that is what we term as balance. So here also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it is a treasure from the treasures of Jannat. And read it in abundance. And it is a cure for 99 sicknesses. Now we will say that we don't even suffer from 3 or 4 sicknesses, 99 sicknesses. Now what do we know what different kinds of sicknesses we could have landed ourselves in? Allah Ta'ala is protecting us with His fazl, with His ihsan. It is only His ihsan that we are being protected. Look at a person sometime living for 80 years, 90 years and 100 years. And they've only gone through 2 or 3 sicknesses and diseases in their life. That's all. Which means that their heart, their liver, their lungs, their bladder, their kidneys, their eyes, their ears, their tongues, everything functioned for 100 years without them really paying anything for it. What did they pay for it? Which bill was sent by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the usage of the eyes and for the usage of the ears and for the tongues and for the heart, liver and lungs? Little operations today, 100,000, 200,000, just for one part of the body. Just one little part of the body and they're selling them for 200,000, 500,000 liver, lungs and whatever things they sell. So it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan. It is He who kept it all going. So this la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you read it in abundance, it is a cure, then we must believe in it. But again, as I mentioned earlier, and this is what we must keep in our mind, that it is that same Allah who kept effect in dua, who has kept effect in dawa. But shifa is in His hands. So this person told his friend, he says that if you think that you've got plenty of wealth, and if you think that you have got plenty of gardens and orchards and grapevines, and you've got date palms, and you've got lovely rivers flowing through it, and you've got all other things, then if you are going to reject the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the one who blessed you with it, then I fear that some kind of calamity mustn't come from the skies and destroy what you have in your possession. Because I fear that it mustn't happen. I'm not going into the full tafsir and not even reading those ayat because we don't have the time. So he says, you must not think that all these things will remain with you forever. I fear that Allah ta'ala must not send some kind of calamity because you are proud, you are arrogant, you are walking on the earth and surface of on the surface of the earth of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with arrogance. So the danger is that Allah ta'ala could send some calamity and some fire could come and raise everything to the ground. Or that water which you are proud about, that river which is flowing, which Allah ta'ala has caused to flow between your gardens, Allah ta'ala can order that water to go deep down into the earth and no matter how much you search for it, you will never reach it. You can bore as much as you want. You will get bored of boring, but you won't reach it. Allah Ta'ala is the one who can draw it away into the earth. So, but the pride and arrogance is such a thing that the person at that time cannot think straight. Because he believes that I've got so much, how can it ever vanish? How can it ever perish? How can it ever be lost altogether? There's no question of it all going away. I've got assets, I've got investments, I've got this, I've got that. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when He sends an azab, then all those investments also disappear into thin air. And the person's properties and everything goes. And so many people we know, that with a stroke they lost their memory, they lost their intelligence, they lost everything. Of course, again I repeat, that this same things can happen even to the pious and to the righteous and to the God-fearing ones. But for them it will be a rahmat. We will see, we will notice in it will be a rahmat. They say if a person in the time of his sickness, in the time of his pain, in the time of his problem, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him people who show concern and assistance and help, and the person is not like dumped away, ignored completely, nobody to care for him, then it is a sign that it is a rahmat from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Sometimes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, for example, gives the parents illness, sickness, so that the children may get an opportunity to earn Jannat, to earn His pleasure, and to get an increase in their sustenance. Now we do not understand the system of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Here the person's wife fell sick, his child fell ill, his parents fell sick, or his family members landed themselves in some kind of problem, and he is a wealthy person. He is fit, he is healthy, he is strong. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created this opportunity for him now to make use of that strength of his, of that health of his, of that wealth of his, to care, to look after, to nourish, and to cherish those parents, and to assist them and help them, whether it's family members, whoever it is. And in this way, what will happen now is Allah Ta'ala will then increase his sustenance. And Allah Ta'ala will not only do that in this world, but Allah Ta'ala will give him great rewards in the hereafter. For if there were no poor people in this world, then where would we have fulfilled this obligation of zakat? If each and every person in this world was given multi-million, and then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, zakat is for the poor and for the needy and for the destitute. Now which poor and needy and destitute would we have given that zakat to? So they are doing a favor to us, the poor and the needy, that Allah Ta'ala made them a means of us dispensing of our zakat. Those who became sick and ill and required assistance and help, we become tired of them in our homes. How long will this person now keep on staying in bed? When will he reach the graveyard? That is the difference between parents and between children. That the children, when the parents reach some old age or they get sick and they cannot seem to be recovering from their illness, then the parents will say, Maulana, please make some dua that my father can now reach the Qabristan quickly. Or my mother can leave this world quickly. And the parents will say, try anything to survive or to keep my child living longer, irrespective of how disobedient that son. But if the parents are true parents, we're not talking about those type of parents that we have these days, talking about the genuine good parents, then they will try the level best, medication, this, that, whatever it is, to keep them. So Allah Ta'ala creates this opportunity. So He says that if you are going to be arrogant like this, then I fear that Allah Ta'ala will send some calamity. A fire could engulf all your farms and vineyards and everything, and nothing will be left. And that is exactly what then happened. That is exactly what then happened. Read Surah Kahf. The whole incident is there. The time has expired. If Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and opportunity, inshallah, in a fortnight's time we'll continue. But next week, Jumu'ah, inshallah, Mufti Rafi Usmani, the senior Mufti of Pakistan, Grand Mufti, he is going to be in this country. And I was given an article the other day in which he spoke about jihad and all the rest of it, which appeared in our Natal Mercury. So he will be here. The next Jumu'ah bayan will be given by him. So at 10 past 12, we are going to start with the bayan. At 12:30, inshallah, there will be some arrangement for translation. So try and come early next week and listen to his bayan. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May He bless us with the best of this world and the best of the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.